Hi, this is Simi.
And this is Rivka. Okay, Simi, let's jump right into it. Let me start with an experience I heard some time ago that may mirror a lot of other people's experience. A family man, religious, racist children religious, left it all, decided he doesn't believe in any of this anymore, specifically when he started to learn psychology. Thinking about it deeply, I actually really understand where he's coming from. Because what do you learn when you learn typical psychology? It's that we as human beings, we make stories. We try to find meaning to pain. Every single culture has its creation myth, and its meaning myth, and its relationship myth. And then you look at our religion and you look at Judaism and you're like, well, why is this any different? We've created a set of stories. Okay, psychologically, that's exactly how we would have acted from a point of view of evolution. So to phrase it as a question, why are our stories different? Why are we different?
So to repeat back the question, why is Judaism different than what you would expect any group of human beings to do faced with, I suppose, environmental pressures and questions and existential problems, people come up with stories. Why are our stories different?
Exactly. Okay.
So I suppose the way I relate to this personally is that when we focus on the stories, they are of a profoundly different nature. Now, this doesn't make them true, but it puts them in a different category, at least. A more, I suppose, inspiring category, if that's the right word. It moves you. You have stories like the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a very ancient flood story. The story of Gilgamesh is completely devoid of any moral content. The story of Noah and his ark is the entire story is about the moral failing of a people and one man who stood above as a righteous man. So I think the road I would go down, and I want to focus it on this week's parasha, but the road I would go down is if we look at our stories through the lens of what matters most to us as human beings in the noble sense of the word, they come about in a very different way.
Okay, so our stories are just better?
They are better stories. They inform the human condition in a way that we today find inspiring and find moving.
Okay, if you don't mind me devil's advocating here, if I would tell you, okay, so the Torah stories are just like everybody else's myth creation stories, where ours are just better. How does that say anything about that we are supposed to believe these more than others? So ours are better, so?
So I would say that they are better. I would also have to, as a side conversation, try and argue for their authenticity. That's a longer discussion, and I mean, it's a debated discussion, and it's a, obviously would take more time. But I think that just
in and of itself, you're saying there is a value to showing somebody how Judaism's stories have a higher content quality.
I suppose a moral content.
Oh, okay, you're specifically talking about moral content.
I think that because from a religious standpoint, that's the key pivoting point, whether we care about morality or not, because otherwise, what are we doing? Are we trying to change the world, or are we just existing in the world like every other culture? We look at ourselves as being on some sort of mission.
Okay, so that is, however, not just better stories. That's a fundamental difference, because if you're looking, for example, at Eastern stories, at creations and dragons and eggs and stuff like that, they are all very much focused on their nation and about how the world became. It doesn't emphasize the whole world, and it doesn't inspire responsibility.
Correct, and I suppose that's already developing a response. The Jewish myths, if we want to call them that from this perspective, they're talking about the world. They're talking about a broader vision. They're talking about God created humanity, not Jew.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to, and once again, you could also say the same thing with the story of Noah. It's a global question. Individuals play a part, but it's not Jew. And that's a universal story. And there's something inspiring about that. But I want to take it to this week's parasha.
Okay.
So there's a situation in this week's parasha, which basically everybody sort of hums and haws about, where basically they just give you the brief narrative. Moshe's about to, well, he's been failing in his ability to get the Jews free and things aren't going well. And then just before we see that shift where God takes a hand in things and things really start moving and the plagues, etc., we get like a whole genealogical register being read out about who Moshe was and who his ancestors were, his family, and it goes into a lot of detail about where he came from, who his parents were, who his siblings were, the cousins, and it's always an interesting question. Why is that relevant right now?
And what do people say? What do you mean hem and haw about it?
Well, because it's a bizarre thing to come about now.
Okay.
So one of the perspectives that I think really does sort of answer, not answer, but gives us something to chew on, is that a fundamental point that the Torah's narrative wants to impress upon us is that we've got this man, Moses. He's a classical hero. He's about to release the Jews from slavery. The Torah goes out of its way to emphasize that he was human.
As in he had father, cousins, brothers, etc.
Exactly. He was immersed in the human experience. He had people who knew how old... He had family. Family that knew him.
Rather than some cryptic person that came on a pony and you don't know where he came from, but
she's
going
a pony, like a white horse or a stallion or
fine,
something.
Fine, a stallion comes riding on a stallion and with fire in his eyes.
His ancestry is like clouded in mystery. But no, right. The Torah says, no, this man was a human being like you. Did he aspire to greatness and did he achieve great things? Of course he did. But his humanity is being emphasized. Now this is counter to all pagan myths. The pagan myths is one of demigods and the children of the gods. And
I hear where you're going. Other myths, okay, besides for the other more moral
but there's moral content to this.
I'm saying before you were talking about the ingredients that are used for our history and our stories are very much evoke a lot of moral thoughts, etc. Here you have a huge story. The Exodus of Egypt, it's the story for all intents and purposes, and Moses is the hero in the story, and it would be so the type for him to be shrouded in mystery. He's the one that we stop, and we say, no. We know where he came from, we know how he grew up, and he was very much mortal.
And just to add to that, exactly, but to add to that, it's like, not only is his origins so human, the mode in which we identify his heroism is also unique. It's not power. It's not might. It's his humility. That's the key factor here. It's his humility. Now, he was clearly a great individual, but the factor that we focus in on is once again counter to the classical myths. So as a nugget takeaway, I suppose we could call it, the story here is of a hero, but it's counter to your classical hero myth, where it's about power, it's about might, and shrouded in mystery. Even Alexander the Great had somewhere in his lineage, like he was related to Zeus. I mean, that's a good yichus. I mean...
Oh, for sure.
But the story of Moses, the story of Moshe, is very much grounded in, we knew where he came from, we knew his ancestors, he was a human. You can learn from a human. You can't learn from a demigod, because there's no... I suppose, point of relation. We can learn from Moshe because he was a human being like us. And that takes it out of the classic category of the myths of old. But more than that, the way we big him up, I suppose you could say, is his humility, which is, once again, it draws it back to the growth of the individual. You are trying to become like Moshe, not to bash down a wall and, you know, like Spartacus and kick down the wall and free the slaves. Spartacus also freed slaves. But, I mean, it's more of a historical hero. But he freed slaves, but it was through power. Here we see the hero of the Jewish people, and the character trait which we focus on is his humility.
Right. So back to the whole story in the beginning of, psychologically speaking, everybody will make their stories. Now, I know Jews probably do make their stories. There's plenty of folk tales and folk myths that nobody says you have to believe as a tenant of Judaism to believe, you know, Hasidic folk tales, but you're meant to learn and be inspired from them. But these stories of the Tanakhian stories, the Torah stories, they are on a different category. They inspire responsibility, not just, how cool we are. They are talking about real people.
We think they're grounded in history as well.
Obviously, you're not even touching upon the veracity of the Torah. That's a whole different discussion. We're specifically talking about the stories now. And it's just interesting about that whole lineage. I was starting a chavruta with somebody, and we're starting to learn Mishnah Torah from the Rambam, from Maimonides. And we just open it up in the beginning, and we find names from Moses until almost modern day. Just he taught him, the whole tree down. From times where we would consider myth, and you actually track down the names of just... it was amazing to see how, wow, it's all there. It's very cool.
People were real people.
Yeah, people were real people. Again, if somebody is doubting the veracity of the Torah, all this has to be discussed. But it's very cool to think about.
I think perhaps it moves the discussion of the veracity into a different framework. You're looking at it not as like a, how are these random myths like every other culture rooted
real
in history?
It's how are these stories that have a very heavy agenda on moral responsibility and the realness and the humanness and the mortality of its individuals that are not shrouded in mystery, that are like, you know, as documented as an ancient text can be documented, it puts it into a different framework.
So I think on that note,
have a good week.